All right, welcome back everyone to another Xamarin.net community stand-up. Whoa!
Woo!
Woo!
We got two woos. All right.
Woo, we got a John in the room.
We got a John in the room. Woo! Well, you can barely see him because...
It's kind of dark here today.
Because his Mac is in dark mode.
Canada doesn't get much sun these days, does it?
Not too much.
Not too much. We also got a Jamie in there. Jamie, how's it going?
Howdy, friends.
There you go. And some music jingles in the background. I like that. Well, so welcome a lot of people, hopefully some brand new people. This is our weekly .NET community stand-up. We do it twice a week. So ASP.NET is on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, we have Xamarin, Languages and Runtime, Tooling and Desktop kind of goes. And Xamarin, we're here talking about the beautiful, lovely things that you can do in the world of .NET. With mobile for iOS, Android, and a whole lot more. I have my good friends with me. Let's do a little round here. I'm James Montemagno, program manager. And let's go around the... I don't know if people can see. Well, I don't know if you see the same view that I see, but you guys can figure out how to introduce yourselves over there.
Ladies first.
Oh, great. I'm Maddie Legere. I'm a PM. I work on Xamarin Forms tooling, so... all the lovely things that are supposed to make your life easier as a Xamarin developer. Pass it to Jamie.
Jamie's muted.
Constant background jingling. Hi, I'm Jamie Singleton. I'm a business operations program manager for the .NET and Xamarin community.
All right, I'll go next. David Ortnow, senior program manager, Xamarin Mobile SDKs, components, Xamarin and Xamarin. John?
And I'm John Dick. You might know me as Redth on Twitter. I'm the engineering lead on the components team in Xamarin here.
Beautiful.
I love how you say it as one syllable too, by the
That's
way.
That's how it's meant to be. It's Redth. It's
I
not
know.
Redith.
I've always, I just, I put two in there for some reason.
Redith.
Redith. Redith.
No, that's all wrong.
Like Reddit, right? Yeah.
I've always said Redth. I don't know why.
Today
no
you learned.
Just Redth.
Redth. I don't know what it stands for, but it's a very nifty name.
It's a mystery.
Well, yeah, welcome everyone. We got all sorts of people. Some people in from Netherlands. Gerald's up in here. Steven's up in here. Dean Ellis up in here. A whole bunch of Luces coming on from the UK. Really excited to have all of our amazing community members. And yeah, we do a few things on the .NET community standups. We like to cover the community blog posts, all the awesome things that you're doing and blogging about and events that you're presenting at. Give some updates of pull requests and some team updates. And then John Dick is here because he has some Android X updates, which is going to be fancy. I'm very excited. It'll probably be the first time I've seen whatever his teams and him have been up to. I think lots of new stuff because a lot of questions have been going. But let's first get into the community links. Maddie, do you want to take over?
Yes, I do. All right, let me share my screen. So I just tweeted about this like 20 minutes ago. We have some amazing links this month. They're always amazing, but I was like mind blown when I was looking at these earlier. So just going to get right in. First one, videos, cross-platform videos. And let me pull up my notes here too. So this is Martz. So this is cross-platform .NET binding for libvlc. Pretty cool. Now it's all over the place. Where he lists the platform somewhere. Yeah. So Mac, Linux, Windows, C#, F#, VB.NET, all these different things you can do for GUIs and Android, iOS, tvOS, all that stuff. So it's awesome. And this is libvlc# 3.0. So I'm pretty sure you just pull this down from NuGet and have videos right there in your Xamarin app. So super easy. Also, you can follow along with all of these links at this lovely website that did you say it was the Mobile Cat team, James? Someone from our lovely internal Microsoft world built this website.
Yes, the Cloud Advocates, Cecil and I'm blanking on the other individual's name, but yeah, it's open source and things like that. It's called I call it the Earlist. Earlist.
Earl.
But yeah,
so
it's very cool.
You can all join right here. And James, I think you have the ability to pop the links into the chat. So yep. Xamarin-standup-June 19th. And you can follow along today. So that was the first one. It's libvlc# 3.0 right there. The next one is opening WhatsApp from Xamarin Forms. So launching apps, I know, can be a bit of a pain. But there's actually a nifty NuGet package. Right here, which is literally opening WhatsApp. And so this is Vicente. I'm not sure if I'm going to butcher that name. I'm sorry. But he talks you through creating your Xamarin Forms app, pulling down the NuGet package. And it's actually just this little line of code, a couple lines of code right here to open the chat, add a phone number, and a message. Just like that. And there's a little thing you have to do for iOS, but it's super easy. And all you have to do is open it, have your message ready to go, ready to send in WhatsApp. And all the code's on GitHub as always, which is great. Very cool. What's next? Oh, CodeMill Matt. Matt is fantastic. He's on the inside here. And he talked everyone through his journey of trying to debug his ASP.NET web APIs at the same time as he was debugging his Xamarin iOS app. So it's pretty easy, he said, on Android to get that working, but it was actually kind of a pain on iOS. So first of all, the craziest part of this to me is that in VS Code, it is two like command prompts, command line terminal type things to create a blank basic template for an ASP.NET web API and then run it. That's it. It's this, and then it's this. That easy. And then you can go in and with Xamarin Forms, you can connect it up, get your string from the endpoint, and that's it. So he was trying to debug it with iOS, and it was kind of a pain. There's something about SSL certificates that goes on. And his first attempt, it doesn't work. So the second attempt, he does it without SSL, and then spends a lot of time trying to figure it out. The third attempt, it turns out it was still trying to do like secure connections, so you have to turn it off a different way. But it's super nifty if you ever have to do this, because he spent a lot of time trying to figure this out, and it was way more complicated than he expected. So if you've ever run into this problem, this is the place to go to solve it real quick, and Matt does all the work for you, which is great. You gotta love it. Okay, what's next? Oh, Charlene, Xam girl, one of my faves, coming in with the XAML markup extensions. So making your syntax just way nicer in XAML. And I use these all the time, so I was very excited to see this. And she goes ahead and explains it a little bit nicer than I usually explain it too. So literally you can turn this here, all your on platforms and separate lines of XAML into... My dog is crunching a plastic bag behind me into this one line right here. So on platform, the default iOS, Android, and UWP. And that's it. So super easy. And there's more examples down below, and also how you can create your own, which is pretty cool. On the flip side, Xamboy is doing map tracking. So with Xamarin Forms, it's kind of like a Lyft clone is how I thought of it, but you can watch a car drive along its route. And it uses the Google Maps Xamarin Forms package. So, you know, it has all the support for lines and all that great stuff. Hold on. I have to pull this bag away from him.
Yeah, it's like, why? My favorite is when sometimes we're in meetings. You can't see us right now, but sometimes we're in meetings. And then, like, Cody... he has a bunch of cats, and Cody's awesome, and his cats will like walk on the keyboard. I mean, it's just like the YouTube video. This is great. That's my favorite part of meetings
this
with Cody.
This is also a Ritz crackers bag, so I don't know how this happened, but whatever.
Send that dog to preschool or whatever. The...
to doggy daycare.
Yeah, your doggy daycare. Come
yeah,
on.
You have to pack a lunch when you send them, so it's pretty legit.
I'm cracking up. My dog used to work at a place called Puppingham. Puppingham Palace. I think that you would probably really like that place.
I would love it. Yeah, that sounds right up my alley. So, great. All right, back to maps. So what Rendy does is he talks you through like configuring the maps, the maps integration, and then using the directions API actually. So lots of stuff going on here to, and it's actually not as much code as I thought it would be, to give you the route that you're going to drive on and then follow that person's car along the route, which is awesome. And a lot of it is just like a XAML page with the map. And it's really cool. So this is on Xamboy's blog, on Rendy's blog. So we have two Alan Ritchie blog posts today, and they're both about Shiny, which if you haven't heard of it yet, I'm not 100% sure how to describe it. It seems like a catch-all for everything you'd ever want to do, but it's kind of like essentials and background processes and dependency injection all mixed into one nifty NuGet package. And in this blog, he actually links the intro blog for it. So that's helpful. And there's a lot of puns about making things shiny, which is great. So this one is about when you geofence people and you want to send them a notification when they leave the bounds of your geofence. So he has a good one here about how it can be really annoying, but it's also really useful. This happens to me every time I walk into a CVS now. Google Pay tells me that I can Google Pay, and then when I leave, it goes away, which is nice. So he uses Shiny to actually like pretty easily just hook up. When you get into a geofence, it says welcome, and when you leave, it says goodbye. A couple Android permissions, a couple iOS permissions, and then registering the geofence down here. And that's it. That was all it was. There's the source and all the packages you're going to need to pull in for NuGet for it. So, and it all happens in the background. Very awesome.
You just inspired me with a great app idea. I'm going to throw this out there for anybody that wants to build this. So you said the phrase geofence people, which got me thinking, why would you ever want to fence somebody? So like I have kids and I'm going to ground my kids, which I don't have to do because my kids are awesome. But what if you had geofence grounding? It's a grounding app, right? And you specify the range at which they're allowed to be. They're not going to go anywhere without their phone, right? So
that's true.
I'm saying $1 million idea. Just send me a thank you.
Yeah. Do it in forms. Use shell and visual. Submit it. That sounds evil, but I love it. I should put that on my dog, actually, so I know when he's.
There's a whole pet thing for it too. Sure, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, flip into another shiny blog. So shiny. Since I read this morning, I've had the song from Moana that the crab sings about being shiny stuck in my head, and it's horrible.
I was thinking of Sia. How does it go? Like, you know.
How's that go?
No, you can YouTube it. I'm not going to torture everybody. Yes. So this is about background jobs and scheduling jobs and doing it cross-platform with forms. It's pretty easy. This one is definitely one that you're going to want to like read through 3 or 4 times. But the idea is that you can just have a background job going on and cancel them, run them on demand. And it's all using Shiny again. So not a lot of code because Shiny does it all for you. And you can do like you're awaiting all your jobs results and all that stuff. So it's pretty general. There wasn't any like very specific examples in this one, but it was a good idea about how to do like async if you're pulling in lists or images and stuff in the background, or if you want to send notifications to people based on results of jobs after they've left the app, stuff like that.
Yeah, I like the Shiny stuff. I was talking with Allie at the MVP Summit. So a lot of our MVPs come in once a year there, which is cool. And then what I like about it is Essentials gives you a lot of like the no dependency, like everything out of the box. And then Shiny kind of adds on to it with a lot of it does some of the base stuff that he's always done in his open source packages, but adds on some of these really complex things. And it's like a very opinionated way of doing it. So if you need to do this, it's a lot of like these really complex things across platform, which is really cool.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, James, I'm going to pass it back to you too for the live stream launch event page.
Oh my goodness. That should be, So we host all the .NET community standups, and a lot of our live stream events and the Xamarin show are all on Channel 9 and on YouTube, which is super duper awesome. And David, who is on the call, he organized a live stream for 4.0 launch, which I'll talk about more, but it's quite long. It's like a 2-hour live stream that we did on Visual Studio and the YouTube, the Xamarin developers YouTube channel. And it's super awesome. David, you walked through like all of Shell, but we had like the actual developers on. Samantha, Shane, Stefan, who else was on? Gerald was on, and
Rui was on.
You were on. I was hosting. I just sat back and asked questions. But it was awesome. If you want to watch it, it's all right there for you. Boom, good to go.
Yeah, it was a great time. I was so glad to have everybody join. And I think it's something we should continue doing. I know that those who participated from our side appreciated having that interaction with the community. So love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And David in general, his Twitch stream lineup lately has been very legit. He's had crazy cool people showing stuff off on his Twitch stream. And it's really fun to tune in and put on your second monitor while you're, you know, checking your emails and all that.
Aw, I'm blushing.
Aw. All right. Okay, this Kim's blog is amazing, and Kim does all of this like UI challenge stuff, and I love these, and I send these to everybody because I'm like, look at how nice all your Forms apps can be. This one particularly blew my mind. So what Kim will do is grab stuff from Dribbble and reproduce it with Forms. So this one is an art gallery app basically, and you can see all these beautiful rounded corners, David, of our favorites, and the animations and the sliding and just like this layout here with all the art in different shapes. And it's beautiful. And the great thing about this is he talks you through like kind of his thought process behind building it and how he actually went and built it, and gives you code snippets, but also the source code. And if you ever need to make an app that has like features like this, when I have to make stuff, I'll go in and I'll just pull and be like, oh, how did you do this nice little like light color when I'm selecting it? And, you know, what are the layouts that he used here? I'm just so curious, all that stuff. So it's awesome. And every time I see anything like this, I get super excited. And we have more of these things later, but this one. Oh, Jamie, do you want to talk about your customer showcase initiative?
Mute.
There you go. That mute.
Sorry, Jamie.
I'm mute. I live in Brooklyn. It's very noisy here. So we, me and James, and a few other folks launched this customer showcase. James worked really hard to get the page up, and we've been working with a lot of really awesome customers. This one in particular, we launched last week. I don't have control of the screen. No worries. Yeah, I was just going to scroll. And BBVA is a really awesome customer, and they did this really, really cool app about helping people find houses for rent or purchase based on a bunch of actually a heat map, which allows you to find things about the location that you're looking for in the neighborhood, like the schools and the crime rates and how walkable it is and things like that. So it's this really interesting app, really cool. And they used heat maps as part of one of their main features. James, do you want to go in a little bit more technical on this?
Yeah, it was super, super cool because it uses a bunch of, it's all Xamarin Forms based. There's a cool video on there as well, like a promotional video, which is really cool. And it's using this Wikitude to do the mixed reality sort of, or the virtual reality, augmented reality part of it. So they talk about all of it in general. So yeah, definitely give it a look-sees. It's really cool. And then it links to the showcase. And also if you want to get your app showcased via blogs, there's a form on the bottom right there, boom, that you can submit and give it a look. Yeah, super cool.
Boom. That's awesome. We're looking at all the submissions. So fire away. It's going to be awesome. I'm super excited. Cool. All right. Oh, I love this one. So Ryan Davis wrote this nice blog post about the new Mono interpreter for Xamarin iOS. The Mono interpreter is very cool, and there's a whole bunch of things you can do with it. But I think the biggest one is getting rid of AOT, so the build time gets way faster. It's interpreted, so obviously like you can't, and I mean you might be able to interpret everything, but if you're trying to like just rapidly develop your iOS app and build things really quick, the interpreter is really helpful for that. He also has some suggestions throughout this blog of other things that could be done, like hot reload, hot patching, with the interpreter, which I think are really cool. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on this, because he also has the slides that he presented at the Queensland Developers Group, I think, the C# Mobile Dev Group. So I don't know, James or David, if you guys want to pitch in about the interpreter at all. Yeah, but
well, we had Chris. Wait, was it Chris that we had on? Is that right? Chris Hammonds? Chris. Yeah.
Yes.
A few .NET community standups ago. So definitely give that a look for how to like dynamically use it during development and inject, you know, like emit code and stuff like that. So it's worth a look. But yeah, Ryan Davis is like super duper into it. And I like that he did a presentation, then also wrote a blog on it and posted on it, which is cool. So
yeah.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Super cool stuff. All right. Luis actually hosted an event with some of our other lovely Xamarin community folks that was a recap of the Visual Studio 2019 launch. So it was by the .NET Dominicana team, and they recorded it. I think they put their slides up here. Well, they put the website up, and yes, they did put the slides up, the pictures and everything, and it was great. They did a really good job recapping. So these were the five kind of topic sessions. So you can see we have Rendy and Charlene and Jose and Angel, the gang, and all the different things that were talked about during the recap event. So Charlene did the VS for Mac and Xamarin one, and she did a really good job. So definitely check it out if you missed the Visual Studio 2019 launch party on April something, early April. This was a really good summary. Sweet. All right. Steven. All of his amazing NuGet packages. He basically did a quick summary blog post of the biggest ones he's been doing lately. Starting with everyone's fave. If you haven't heard of it, you need to go check out PancakeView. It's everything I've been begging the Xamarin Forms team for, except named after pancakes, which makes it that much better. So it's borders and shadows and rounded corners and gradients. And I didn't know why it was called Pancake View, but he does explain it here. It's because pancakes are round, have shadows, and are a gradient. And I was like, great. Pancake View is super easy to use, and it gets you all this great stuff. The other thing that he did that I was super excited about was debug rainbows. So you can see an example of it here. It's basically adding backgrounds to all your layout and elements, UI elements. So you can see, like, this is a good one. Like, this hot pink is that stack layout or whatever layout he has here. So when you're, especially like when you're getting started with an app or you're just getting started with Xamarin Forms in general and you're trying to figure out how the different layouts scale, this is a super helpful tool. You can also do it with design time data now, which is awesome, but Steven does all the work for you here and it's really nice.
That's cool.
So, yeah. The other thing was easy loading. So this one is loading from an external source, and the activity indicator, you know, he calls out some things that he doesn't necessarily love about it. So it's a different layout specifically for loading a bunch of stuff. And it's very nice. And of course they're all open source. So submit your PRs if you have something. Another thing that Steven is working on, as well as Gerald, who just joined the Xamarin Forms team, is this website, snippets.dev. No vowels, because it's too startup-y to have vowels, of course. But it's all of the really cool Xamarin Forms layouts and snippets for them. So it's kind of like a Dribbble, basically, for Xamarin Forms UI. And it's beautiful. So I've seen some of these before. Some of them I think are actually from David's visual challenge. I'm not 100% sure, but they look familiar.
Yeah,
cool. And you can click into them and play around with them, see where they are on GitHub, see if there are blogs. Like, Steven has contributed a lot of his own. I know Javier has put some on here. And you can add your own if you hit contribute on the open source on the GitHub. So it's super easy to talk about or to add your own stuff. And it's beautiful. So show your friends. If you want to make apps that look like this, this is how you do it. And that's it. I think that is all there is for blogs. So many.
Nice. And beautiful. All right. Well, David, you want to head into community PRs?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and share this browser. Can you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh my. Oh, I guess I was looking at
No.
That's so weird. That's so weird. Oh, they beat the Bruins 4-2. Oh. Sorry, Maddie.
Is there some sports happening?
There's some sports happening.
Oh, okay.
There's a game tonight. My St. Louis Blues have been waiting nearly 50 years.
Go Blues in the chat.
This doesn't look like soccer. I don't understand. Fans? What's this? They're on ice? Why would you do that? I don't understand.
Well, you should watch tonight. Maybe okay. It'll inspire you.
I'm just glad nobody can see how sad my face is right now.
There you go. Now you're on. No, you're on my screen anyway because you were talking. So there's that. And I'm sure I'll be on the receiving end at least one more time. But hopefully not more than one, because we just need the two wins to win the cup. All right. Let's talk about Xamarin and Xamarin Forms. So I've got some Forms PRs here that I'm going to flip through. And then I got a couple of Glide PRs. Oop, and somebody's calling me and I'm not going to answer it. Okay, so Daniel put together, and you may know Daniel from FF Image Loader or FF Image Loading, sent in some pull requests to take advantage of the new image handler. So you can actually enable FF Image Loading and continue to use the image tag within Xamarin Forms. And you will benefit from the loader that is in FF Image Loading. However, I think if you want all of the fancy bits that FF Image Loading provides, you're still going to want to use that tag. But that's a nice one, and he wasn't done. He also submitted this to make Visual Element Renderer and Elevation Helper public, which is great. Anytime that you see something and you're like, why can't I get at this thing? Pull request is fantastic. Go ahead and do it. Send it to us. Explain why. And as you can see here, we went ahead and merged that. In this case, I think it was already public on other platforms, and for whatever reason, Android had been overlooked. So you may know that recently we opened up the fast renderers and unsealed them so that you can now extend them and do things there. We want to make sure that we continue to do that, but we're not going to do just a wholesale thing. So please let us know what we can do to help you there so you can more easily extend Xamarin and Xamarin Forms. Andre Nitescu is on the warpath again, it seems, although it's not really war. It's more like a goodwill tour of the world of Xamarin. He has been, if you saw the blog post, which I guess I should pull up for the 4.1 pre-release, which we just shipped this week, he submitted quite a few really nice pull requests, and here's another one. So when you have a switch and you want to change not only that background color, which was added a few versions ago, now you can change as well the thumb color. So as a matter of fact, I think there was a comment down here. Oh, yeah. So this is a comment from Tomas. Appreciate these small enhancements you're committing. So needed and desired. I hear this over and over again. These little things like this, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But when you need to change just the color on something and suddenly find yourself in platform code, it can be a frustration. So thank you for that pull request. Keep that stuff coming. And on the same vein, adding padding to labels. Mm-hmm. And this one is one that requires a bit of discussion. So I would encourage you to please go up and add your thoughts here, add your support or your criticism. Let us know what you think, because labels on iOS anyway is a very different story than the other platforms. And so in order to support this in a consistent cross-platform manner, it requires some additional work that we want to make sure is what we should be doing. So please go talk to us about that. This is one I absolutely love, because I don't know about you, but there are a set of classes that and helpers and utilities and whatever you want to call it that I end up bringing into every application that I work on. And the toHex is one of those, toHex and fromHex. So this is a pull request to add that extension method to color.
Nice. We're going to have to steal that for Xamarin Essentials. Xamarin Essentials has also color helpers. Because it doesn't depend on Xamarin Forms. So if you're not using Xamarin Forms, we stole all the code from Xamarin Forms and then put it in Xamarin Essentials. So now we got to like steal this code and put it in there too. So that'd be pretty cool.
Absolutely. And if others aren't aware, the platform color properties within Xamarin also have helpers, and you have helpers to get from Xamarin to iOS. So there's like an extension method. I think it's to UI color. Mm-hmm. There's another that's to Android color, and back and forth. So those are available to you when you do find yourself in platform code needing to interact between the cross-platform colors and the platform colors. So cool. Yeah, Essentials could definitely use some of that love. So here's another one that I would love to get some input on. So Shell is the new hotness, right? A lot of convenience, a lot of great things here. And part of what is a big focus for us is, hey, we've shipped, you know, the first version. Where do we need to go from here? Where should we be investing our time? Certainly one of the largest bits of feedback we've heard consistently is, hey, how do I handle out of navigation flows, login flows, onboarding flows, things like that. How do I handle once I am authenticated, showing and hiding my menu items? So that's a key area we're going to be focusing on. But another one that has come up pretty frequently is this, badges for Shell. Mm. So when you have a Shell and you want to have a badge on the top tabs, on the bottom tabs, things like that, how do you do that today? Well, today you would have to go into the Shell renderer, get access to the code that is creating these views, and handle all of that yourself. Of course, Shell is here to make things silly easy for you. So what about this? What about these badges? What should the badges do? Should they be stock looking badges like this, et cetera? So please come find this pull request, add your thoughts. Not a lot of conversation yet. Of course, it's only a few weeks old, but please come let us know what you think. As of right now, he's got Android, iOS, bottom and top tabs covered. If this is sufficient for V1 and the API looks like it is what it needs to be for what it does, then we can merge that. But yeah, please come talk to us about that. And thank you, Dresel, for Christopher Dresel. I believe in Austria. I went and looked you up because I didn't know who you were. So I appreciate that. It's a really cool pull request. And then, as I mentioned, we got a couple of Glide-related things here.
Now, what's Glide if people don't know what Glide is, David?
Yeah. So I guess technically this is Glide X, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Android image handling library that is high performance. It tends to be what a native image handler would use. You're going to bring this into your Android app to get that, get the speed. So John Peppers, who is in the chat, I believe, created a GlideX package for Xamarin developers so that you could use this in both Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android, as well as, of course, Xamarin Forms. And that's part of why we added that image handler interface that I mentioned previously that Daniel is using for FF image loading. Yeah, so we do have a bunch of components. This is just one that we maintain. And let's see, do we have a name on? Yeah, Ruben. So Ruben submitted this one for some additional bindings to support the recycler view stuff, some fixes, some corrections. And then, you know, those are always welcome as well. It doesn't have to be new features. You can help us fix some things. And then some changes to bring things up to date, it looks like. So this is also very cool. We have other components as well. So if you come look at Xamarin components, you'll see that there's a lot of stuff in here. That some of it's cross-platform, some of it's specific to iOS and Android, and all are open source. So if you want to contribute something, this is a great place to go, as well as Xamarin Forms and Xamarin Essentials. So I think I'll wrap up my part by talking just for a moment about the release that we just did, dev blog. Oh, I don't have, what is it, microsoft.com?
Dev blogs with an S. I messed that one up yesterday when I was typing in. Yeah, devblogs.com/Xamarin. You can always still go to blog.xamarin.com too, and that one still works.
Oh, yeah. So the main thing in this release, thank you, Mr. Montemagno, is the checkbox. You did the initial and the bulk of the work for this, and then Shane and the team helped to get this across the finish line. So now we have a checkbox, and we also have a visual version of it, the material version, I should say. So on Android, not a huge difference, a little bit of default differences. There is a new checkbox skin coming, as I understand it, in the next... maybe it's part of Android X, I guess. John, you could probably talk about that when you talk about what you're doing there. Bigger difference, obviously, on iOS. And then there is a UWP checkbox. And if ever there were a UWP material design package, then we would have that as well. So that's really cool, but that's not all that's in 4.1 pre-release 1. So There are text scaling accessibility things that have been added for iOS. Quite a few things have been added for Maps. We know that Maps is a very popular component that people use, that you use in your applications. And then Control Templates actually gets a nice little helper here, again, from Andrei Nătescu. And I wanted to give a nice shout out here to the Tizen team from Samsung. So many amazing pull requests. They've already implemented Shell, Visual, and the Material Renderers. They've implemented the named font sizes, and they've got an early version of Collection View implemented for the Tizen platform. So this is an animated GIF. Nope. Yep. It's a video. There we go. Showing the visual gallery from our control gallery running on a Tizen device. So that's not all. Other enhancements in this release for UWP, macOS, WPF, GDK, all the platforms have gotten something in this release. And thanks in large part to the amazing contributors we have. And Samantha Houts from the Xamarin Forms team was nice enough to take, I guess, the inspiration from our blog posts, but I'm sure this was all of her own idea, but there's now a thank you section in the release notes.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Come gaze upon your name and bask in the glory that is. We really do appreciate everybody that contributes, because we are obsessed with pushing the Xamarin platform forward for you, making it better, more stable, faster, as well as filling all those feature gaps. And it pains us when we realize our own limitations, that we can't do everything. So what helps push the whole platform forward is you. So if you are interested in contributing, if you are hesitant to contribute, reach out to us. I think one of the first things Gerald said when he joined the team is that he was surprised we were actually as nice, if not nicer, than he expected. Which I was
thought we were all Twitter bots, which I think makes sense. Here. Yeah, based on how kind we are to all of you on the internet. So,
yeah. So there you go. I think that's everything I had. But I know, James, you did have a couple of Essentials-related PRs. I didn't pull them up, but did you want to talk about those?
Yeah, I'll go through really quick before we head over to John Dick. So I'll just pop over to my screen really quick over here. So a few things happened. The PM team and the Essentials and Components team engineering team, we met up with tons of community members to understand like what's next for Xamarin Essentials. We do this all the time. Everybody on this call is always talking to our customers and developers all the time, which is great. And the one thing that they really, really wanted was file access and attachments in Xamarin Essentials. And yeah. John Dick was amazing and figured out how to do all of the Android stuff, which got file attachments inside of email and inside of sharing, so you can share files. John, do you want to talk about the craziness of Android file sharing?
Yeah, I wasn't quite alone in that. Matthew Leibowitz from my team helped out with it too. But basically Android, depending what version you're on, if you're on a newer version, they require that you do some fancy like support file provider stuff to actually expose like a URL to the file that's kind of abstracted from where it actually exists and has permission to it and everything. So, you know, it's the one platform of all of them that was kind of like, why don't you guys just do this file thing? Well, that's not so easy on Android, but I think we came up with a pretty good solution in terms of, you know, there's different places the file can exist on Android that's shareable. And we've kind of followed a few other code bases and how they were doing similar things. So I think we've got a good solution here. And now you can actually share files, open files, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and somehow I don't know how we figured out how to do the auto XML generation and everything. That was amazing. I'm stealing all that magical code under the hood. But so it turns into this, like here's us writing a file to disk and then sharing it. We just say new share file and it just magically happens. Those features are under the feature flags, the experimental features that we took from Xamarin Forms. But from that, we have gotten some new PRs from the community. And the first one is a file picker. So this one's about sharing, but you have to kind of do the same coming in. So this came in recently from, I don't actually know his name, but Vividos from Germany, who did a file picker. This came in the last month, so we're reviewing that. And now tying that into the same file access. So previously before this, you know, he had this pick result, but we'll put that into a stream and into a file, which is really cool. So he did a full PR. We're reviewing it now, and we're going to integrate that together into the new API. So you can kind of see how we work here, go back and forth on it. But we did the share a file, but what was interesting is we then got some additional feedback on it. We closed the PR, we're like, we shipped it, and then we looked at the PR and was like, hey, this is great, but I really just want to open the file. So what's going on there? Like, how come I can't just open a PDF? So it was really cool to get that feedback immediately. That's why we released it. We didn't want to wait till we did our own testing. We put it under that feature flag. And then so I did this PR. Say it's my own. Because of you, we did this PR. And now we have a new API in Launcher. Instead of sharing, it's called Open Async. So you would share a file to share it, and then Launcher to open it, because you would launch URLs in the default thing. And this will open up basically a picker to go, which is cool. So I think that's it for me. The only other thing I wanted to talk about was the reason we have John on, because a few months ago you wrote a great blog post on updates to all of the components for iOS and Android and how everything was open sourced. And one of them specifically was on kind of the core work and Android X, and it's hot topic right now because Google Play is moving to it. So I'll let you take over and talk all about Android X and what the team is up to.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm going to just share my screen here quickly now too. Saw a couple of comments in the chat earlier that are like, oh, what's Android X? So if you've ever heard the term Android Jetpack, that's kind of the same thing. Jetpack is kind of Google's marketing term around Android X. And Android X are the actual like packages and implementation of it. So Google a while back decided that Android support libraries had become so important that they wanted to kind of rebrand them into Android X, into these Jetpacks. And now we've gotten into this world where they've said, okay, we've got Android support. Now to move everyone over to these Android X packages, you know, it's going to be a little bit of work because they've actually gone ahead and changed package names in Java. And like your code needs to essentially change. So the approach that Google took was basically a migration wizard for your projects. Well, it was kind of two pieces. One of them was that Android Studio can actually migrate your code for you, migrate. You know, we're not talking about just, you know, your code. In this case, there's resource files, you know, with your XML layouts and stuff that could reference Android support types. There's all these different things that need to be kind of migrated over. So they have this tool that migrates your code, migrates your resources and everything, but they have to take it one step farther and try and support a scenario where, well, I might have dependencies that actually still need Android support. They're compiled against Android support. So if one of my libraries that I depend on that I don't have control over still subclasses, you know, fragment activity from Android support libraries, well, that's going to be a problem for me moving to Android X. So they actually wrote a tool, and they call it Jetifier, which I guess makes sense kind of with the Jetpack.
The Jetification of applications.
Yeah, exactly. So what they essentially do is they help you migrate your code, but then they actually go ahead and Jetify, if you will, your third-party libraries. So they're actually looking at like your Java bytecode from third-party libraries, and they're converting all of that bytecode to instead use the Android X types instead of the Android support types. So they kind of have like a pretty much one-to-one mapping between the types, and they're doing that conversion for you. So, you know, we've had a lot of people asking, like, well, what's the Xamarin story around this? What are you guys doing for this? And, you know, we have a few more additional challenges than just doing the same thing that Google did. One of them is we absolutely have to do the same Jetification step for native libraries. So if you have, you know, if you're referencing like Facebook or anything that has like a binding to a native library, we have to actually do the Google thing and Jetify those. That's kind of given. But then we have an additional bit of overhead on our side with our bindings to that library. Our bindings contain like managed code that calls into those native libraries. So our managed code also now looks like android.support.whatever. You know, that might be the namespace in our managed library. Well, we have to kind of do the same thing that they did in bytecode, but we have to do it to our .NET IL code and actually go ahead and change all of the namespaces and everything to match the new Android X stuff. There's namespaces. Then, you know, if we're getting into the weeds here with details of how the bindings work, there's actually these like strings that each binding method declares for what Java type it's associated with. So we had to go and swap all of those out in our own binding code too.
So what you're saying is it's complicated.
Yeah, it's a little bit messy is what I'm saying. And so, you know, we talked about this a lot, and conversations we've been having since Android X was announced by Google, since it was a thing. And I know not everyone kind of gets to see behind closed doors with those conversations happening, but there was a lot of passion and a lot of opinions on kind of the right way to do things here. And one of the goals that we set out for ourselves was to do better than Google did in a sense. You know, we have a lot of customers who are probably using Xamarin Forms almost exclusively. Maybe they have some renderer code in there that they don't really want to have to look at ever again because they wrote it once and it works. So we didn't feel that like requiring a one-time project migration was the best that we could do. So we actually sat down and we set out to create a migration process that could take your code that referenced Android support libraries, and we could convert that over for you on the fly as part of the build process. So what we have working, and I want to show you a little bit today, is a very easy to use migration process for getting your app running in Android X. Now, you can update all of your code to use the new Android X types. And we're working on providing some tooling that helps you do that if you choose to do that. So it's not a requirement. And eventually you might want to go that route anyway, but if you want to just kind of get yourself up and running and using Android X, you can take your same code base. So I've got a simple app here, and I'll show you something more complex in a minute, but this is kind of good for demos. So this is using Android support. So we're using app compatibility from Android support. This is something that Xamarin Forms uses under the hood itself too. So that's another challenge, right? Like if we were to kind of force everyone into this one-time migration, we have this whole ecosystem of things that we don't want to force third-party developers to update either. So we've got this Android support app. Now I'm going to quickly run it, and I should have trusty old Visor here. And I want to show you when we hit this breakpoint what's happening in the normal app. So this should run pretty quickly. I think I've got it pre-compiled. And you'll see that you know, everything's running as you would expect. It's an Android support app. When we hit the breakpoint, we'll just kind of do a quick inspection here and show you like, I'm running on internal base. Let's try that one more time. There's a bug here that we've got reported. Don't worry. But because we're doing kind of these Android X bits, I'm running on internal pieces to kind of get things working. So hopefully we don't keep hitting that one. It's kind of a
This is cutting edge. This is like, you see that whenever you see that in preview, that's the stuff that's like, who knows what's happening? Who knows what version of Visual Studio this is?
So you can see here that, you know, I don't know if I can zoom that easily on this machine. I'm on Windows. I'm not in my comfort zone.
You can Windows plus.
Will that plus the whole thing?
Yeah, it'll. And then you can always escape out of it. Yeah.
All right. So this is, you can see we've got an app compatibility, right? This is support V7. This is all great. This is exactly what we expect in a normal app. Right. Mm-hmm. How do I exit? Okay.
You can also exit there. Yeah.
So I'm just going to, well, you can see here it's a really simple one button thing. Nothing really much happening here. So I'm going to close that. Now I'm going to open up my project file. I'm going to do this just kind of the manual way for now because it's quick and easy. So what we're going to do, what we're aiming for here, is we've got this Android X migration package. This is where all of the magic happens. And I want to give a shout out here to a few people because there's a lot of people working behind the scenes on this. Matthew Leibowitz, Mel from our team, they've done a lot of work on the Android X migration story, and then the Android team, the Xamarin Android team. You know, Peppers was mentioned before once, surprise. Dean, we've had a lot of work and collaboration between the teams to kind of get to this point. So this package is where all of the magic happens. And then we've also got the Android X packages that are kind of the counterparts to the old support packages. Now, you'll see something interesting here. I'm going to leave all of the old packages here. So we've got this support design, and to match that, Google changed things. This is kind of the weird one. They changed it to be called Android Material. It's no longer called Android X or Android Support. We've got Core Utils. You can see Core Utils down here. We've got Custom Tabs, which is now called Browser. So I've got both sets of packages here, and this is where the magic kind of happens. So I'll make sure that's saved. I'm going to come back into Visual Studio, let that project reload, and we should see those references come here in a second. Let's restore packages, maybe. Let's do the project. Oh, no, they came in now. Okay, you can see them now. So we've got the Android X bits. We've got the support bits. They're all here, the Google Material bits. Now, I'm going to do, while I'm talking here, I'm going to do a clean and do a build here. Let's start launching this app again.
And you're saying in the Google way of doing it, like if you're doing Java or Kotlin, you couldn't do these side by side? Is that the thing, basically? It's all or nothing.
So if we were to start, you know, typing here, I don't know if IntelliSense is going to do it for me. I can access the Android X bits, right? I can do app. I think this is, yeah, app compatibility.
Amazing.
So that's the same thing that we're subclassing, right, from before. But this one is still the Android support V7 app compatibility. And we didn't change any code here. And the other part that I'll draw some attention to here is this, the XML layout file. We've got,
Yeah, and I should mention, some people are like, where are these packages from? These are not released yet packages, correct?
Yeah, these are special feed packages that we're not quite ready to release. And the main reason that we're not quite ready to release them is that we require some bits that are coming out in the next preview of Visual Studio. Well, not the next, I think two next. There's a next one coming out soon, and then another one in a few weeks, and we'll be kind of compatible with that one. So that's the one we're aiming for. Our app launched here. Now this is where it gets really kind of weird, right? So we've got this, our base is support V7 app compatibility, but let's look at runtime here. What was it? Windows key plus, not shift.
Yep.
Perfect. You see that? This type at runtime is actually an Android X app compatibility. So
and the stuff. That's, whoa, crazy.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of funny. But that's kind of like the trade-off of being able to leave your code being, you know, support V7 and not kind of have to worry about it. So let's let this pass and kind of just prove to you that it still runs. The app still runs, but now we're using, an Android X button instead of an Android support button. And so you didn't have to change any code here, right? That was kind of the cool thing. And if I go back, I had that layout file open. Let's open it again once more. You can see here that we've still also got an Android support V7 widget. I'm not sure what's going on there. That preview bits again, that should be working. But we've got the old button here, so we're kind of doing that for you on the fly too, making that all just kind of happen. So that's kind of the basic of it. Now, I want to flip over to another app. This is an app that I wrote, that I maintain. It's called Pool Math, and this is a real world app. This is an app that I've got on the App Store. It's, if we kind of look at,
show it off. Let's see it. I saw it on your phone.
Yeah, it's not tiny. It's not very small. It's almost fully Xamarin Forms. I mean, I've got a few renderers in here, but Xamarin Forms has gotten so great that half of these I don't even use anymore. I probably need to clean up my code. But basically, you know, this one I've got built running as Android X app too. And all I did was come in here and switch out my references. Now, this kind of proves to you too, like we've got App Center stuff, which has native bits. We've got
plugins. Yeah, plugins.
Billy stuff has native bits. Wow. I've got both support and Android X launched here. I've got Play Services. I've got Facebook. I've got Essentials. I've got Forums. I've got all the bits. Now, I think this should just run. I'm going to do this, but while we do this, I'm going to flip over to look at the APK that I've already built with this that we can inspect with little Android Studio here. So I've got, you know, if we look at the classes dex file, I just want to kind of.
And what's a dex file for people new to the scene?
The dex file is kind of like what everything gets compiled to for the native Java bits. So if we look here at, is it org.facebook? No. So the Facebook dependency that I brought in, Facebook still depends on Android support. And this is like the Java Facebook code bits, right? So if we look at one of the Facebook, like at Facebook activity, if we start looking at the details of it, this thing got switched over to Android X as well for us. So this, you know, even though I pulled this dependency in, it's a Java binding, it's binding to a Java library. They used to depend on Android support. Through this whole migration process, we're doing not only, you know, our kind of jettification bits, but we're doing the Google bits for you and stuff as well. So everything just kind of magically happens. And that's the whole goal here, is that we can kind of do this for you without without you having to lift a finger initially to get it all working. So I think we're pretty close. Like James said, we've got a, you know, these NuGet packages aren't quite available yet. Be mostly, like I said, because they require an internal preview version of actual Xamarin stuff. So, let's see this fire up quick and see if it happens. So you could see some of the login there is talking about the jettification happening.
So it's kind of like really, because, you know, Google is changing stuff over to Android X, but then once these packages are out, it's like it doesn't really matter. You just bring in this. When you bring in a new library that has Android X, it'll depend on these. And for library creators, you know, if you haven't updated your library, I think what you're talking about here is like, I haven't updated any of my plugins, or we haven't updated Xamarin Essentials or Xamarin Forms yet to depend on these new packages. And yet the migration process is like seamless under the hood. Is that good representation?
Exactly. It's like you add that migration package, and actually one of the cool things that we added recently to that package is you add that package in, and if you don't have all of the correct like Android X counterparts to that, to the support packages that you use, it'll tell you. It'll be like, hey, you need to go install this thing because you don't have it installed, and that's the new version of Android support. It's now this Android X package.
Do you think there'll be a world in which, like, when would developers be able to like only use Android X? Like, does that seem, and like not have to worry about the old support libraries?
Yeah, so I mean, you could kind of do that. You know, we've had someone I was talking to that said, hey, listen, I have this app that I'm building and I don't have any third-party dependencies. Mm-hmm. You know, when can I use Android X? And the answer to that is like immediately once we have everything publicly consumable. Or, you know, you could go today, technically, all of the bindings to the Android X packages themselves, they all already exist on the Android X branch of the Android support library. So you could go fetch those. I think you might even be able to get at CI builds of them already. So you could go download the packages. You could use them in your app today. The only one that you won't be able to get access to from that is the Android X migration package, the one that kind of does all this magic of migrating. But if you just wanted to run, start building a new app with Android X, have no dependencies that need Android support, you could go use those technically today. So, I mean, this is running, like I said, this isn't, you know, this is a more complicated app. It's not super simple. It's all forms for the most part, but it's, you know, we're doing Android X. It's all running Android X under the hood. So it's kind of neat. I was happy to see this work just magically.
Yeah, it's fun to take real world apps and then when it works, and you're like, whoa, amazing.
Yeah.
Did you notice any differences when you ran this with Android X for the first time?
You know what? To be completely truthful, the whole migration process will add a tiny bit of build overhead the first build. One of the things we've been really focused on, though, is, you know, once we've done that kind of jettification, because like that has to happen. I mean, that happens in Google's apps. If you're running an Android app on Android Studio, you're going to have that overhead too. So we've got that no matter what. We've minimized that in a bunch of ways. And one of the things we've really worked on is making sure that incremental builds don't pay an additional tax because of that. There will be a world, probably hopefully sooner than later, that you might want to migrate your code over to Android X anyway. And once you know all of your dependencies are Android X supported, you know, you can get rid of those Android support packages from your app and you won't pay any of that additional tax at all. So that's kind of where we want to head. So, you know, if you have third-party dependencies that you really like, you can always, you know, poke those authors and say, hey, when are you guys supporting Android X when this all comes out? So.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm a suspicious developer, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you're doing this for me, this migration, and it's magical and everything, but I have objections, right? What can I do to migrate my own code? Or what would that look in the future once we start rolling this out?
Yeah, so that's, like I mentioned, that's one thing that the IDE teams are working on, is creating like an actual migration wizard. So if you say, hey, I don't want to run this like migration thing at build time. I'm comfortable with migrating all of my project code over, and I know all my dependencies are fine with Android X now. I should back up a step. It doesn't matter if your dependencies are Android X or not. You can still migrate your own code. You will still need the migration package and tasks if you do have dependencies that are Android support dependent still. But once you get to that point, yeah, if you say, I want to migrate my own code, we'll have we've got some tooling that we're testing that will help you migrate all your code, your resources, your manifest files, your program config files. Like, these are all bits that have to get migrated over that kind of Google forced upon us and has to do themselves. So
we got a good question from Oberden in the YouTube chat. It says, how will the linking process work? Because there's going to be support packages, Android X. Are they getting linked out? I noticed that in Android Studio, the sizes were drastically different for those folders. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, so they will get linked out. Essentially, we basically use the Android support bits, the managed like .NET bits and the native Java bits, only at compile time or before we actually do the swapping out of types. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we can link out all of the support libraries, and we don't actually need the native Java bits for that either. So yeah, the answer is this won't double your app size because you've got both of them. The magic all happens and the old support step gets linked out when your app gets created.
That's great. Good. Love the linker all day, every day. So So then really, if I'm a library developer, like I have all of my plugins and we have essentials and, you know, all the cool plugins and libraries that we showed today, really, well, the nice thing is usually I have very small dependencies, like one or two packages. So is the recommendation is like once these out, like library creators should do this? Is that like, that's the thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we've seen from Google's side is developers of libraries have been kind of slow to move to Android X. And if you take Google themselves, like they just announced that they're moving Google Play Services and Firebase to use Android X. And that's kind of where I wanted to take a cue from as well, is when they decided, okay, all of their libraries now use Android X, that was kind of the time to be like, okay, now is a safe time for library authors to do that. So I think the answer in the Xamarin world is, yeah, once our packages go out, once we have the migration package available for consumption, I think it's a good time to start moving stuff over.
Yeah, the other thing I like to say is if your app isn't broken, then don't change everything for fun until you're like ready to do it, right? Until you have like a requirement. We were talking, I just did a blog post and confirmed with you on the 64-bit requirement, and you know, that's just a checkbox now, but it's like I didn't do it because I didn't have to add another ABI until Google said do it, right? So, yeah. But yeah, I'll definitely be doing it for my libraries. But like, if your app is good, you're like everything's happy. You don't have to do it right away, I guess. So, Martin says that he's going to do it for all of his libraries, which is awesome. Now,
great.
Does it mean I saw there's like a lot more Android libraries. So there already are a lot of support libraries. There's just going to be more. Like a tons more?
Yeah, Google seems to be splitting them out more and more into smaller and smaller pieces. That's just kind of the trend. There are definitely some more than there were in the Android support world. I don't think it's gone up super drastically, but I do kind of expect that to keep inching forward and creeping into more and more libraries as they make things smaller and smaller.
And are there going to be, so we had a question earlier, I think from Luce way back in the beginning was, are there like new functionality in Android X? Because we kind of showed like the replacement. Is there like new hotness that developers will get with it?
You know, to be honest, I haven't spent enough time looking at the actual functionality of things. I do know there are some new APIs. There's some new features. One of the ones that isn't actually exactly new, because they did backport it to support 28, was the work manager stuff. But technically, even in support 28, they had already named it Android X, which was kind of funny. So there's definitely new APIs. I think like Google's kind of saying like, okay, if you were using support, all of those APIs still exist in Android X, but there are definitely more that they've added since then. So yeah, there's new opportunities to use interesting things. One of the new ones actually is like the new camera API, I believe.
Camera X. Android X dot camera X.
The code got even longer, did it?
Yeah. No, it's supposed
seems
to
like be... every version of camera, man. That thing just gets more and more.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, what will Android do when they get to an actual version of Android that is X? We're at Q. I mean, it's not too far off into the future.
I know.
That'd be like, what, 30-something or something like that?
X1, X2, X3, who knows?
What candy is X, though? They might have to skip it.
I don't know. That's a good question.
We don't even know what Q is yet, right? So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
what candy is Q?
Android. Everyone's saying Android AA, Android AB, Xanadu.
Well, you know, I'm sure that they will. They'll use their brains and just decide to skip it.
These are the tough questions.
Yeah. No, then they'll go to numbers, right? Android 1, Android 2.
Oh.
No. All right, I don't know. All right, cool. All right, we don't have any more questions going on in the chat room. Well, cool. Thanks, John. This is awesome. I'm super excited for it. I can't wait to upgrade all my libraries to it. And thanks to everyone for being on the live stream. David, Maddie, John, Jamie. Thanks to everyone, the hundreds of people that have been joining in on Twitch, Facebook, and the YouTubes. And of course, this will be on demand on YouTube, as well as Channel 9. So definitely give it a look there. And the show notes are in the pages there. Until next month, which will be July. Oh, my goodness. It's on July 4th. So we actually have off. So I don't know. Maybe we'll do it a day early then on July 3rd. We'll sneak peek. We'll get the schedule updated and let you know. But thanks, everyone.
Cool.
Bye. Thank you.
Ciao.
Thanks,
guys.